The following financial professionals have raised the following questions: Philippe Orpatian, ODDO, Pedro Alves, CaixaBank, Pablo Cuadrado, JB Capital Markets, Meike Becker, HSBC, Manuel Palomo, BNP Paribas, Peter Vistiga, Bank of America, Rob Poulet, Morgan Stanley, James Brandt, Deutsche Bank, Jorge Alonso, Bernstein, Societe Generale, Fernando García, RBC, Javier Suárez, Mediabanca, and finally, Sky London Rothschilds. The first question is, could you outline the key drivers of Iberdrola's Q1 2026 net profit and explain the main factors behind the year-on-year growth?
Thank you very much. And already, as I explained, in networks, we expect a strong performance in the UK and US due to the consolidation of electricity in the West from March 2025, higher rates and contribution from NCEC interconnection between Canada and Massachusetts, and also higher RAB in all countries because of the investment it has been doing in power. Business affected by non-recurring impacts, the cost of ancillary service in Iberia in 2026, and some timing effects in the US that was affected this year. And as well, in positive, we have the higher production. Below EBITDA, a good evolution of our financial expenses, positive impacts of the 100% acquisition in Generia that we have already mentioned before. And that makes our net profit grows by 11%, even with a negative impact of almost 100 million euros to the FX. And so without this one, the net profit that Pepe mentioned was 70% increase on adjusted terms.
Next is, could you elaborate on the new 2026 net profit guidance and summarize the main operating and financial drivers you expect to support delivery over the remainder of the year, sorry?
So almost on the same line that I was commenting for 2026, we expect to continue the strong performance during the rest of the year. In networks, growing the regulatory asset base in all countries, new distribution framework with better rates, RIIO-T3 from April, new interconnection between Canada and Massachusetts, better tariff in Brazil, which has been already adjusted in the last few days, additional contribution for Energia for the 100% ownership. And in power, we have already installed 1 gigawatt in the last 3 months, and we expect to make another 2.7 additional before the year end. And we expect to continue to have the strong renewable output after last year, very low production, especially in the UK. Our hydro reserves are in record levels, and a part of that one, we have the very good performance and good spread of our pumping storage facilities, which I think only in the first quarter we have already produced 1.6 terawatt hours, so which I think is an important percentage of our total electricity generated with hydro. We have lower debt and better ratios, and the interest rates mainly are fixed or hedged. And we are not expecting significant volatility to the political, the geopolitical dynamics, as I mentioned before, because of our regulated transmission and distribution networks business, and because our power, 86% of our production, is not linked to fossil fuels, 100% of 2026 is already sold. So that's why we are improving our guidance an expected growth for more than 8% in adjusted net debt, excluding capital gains, which always we use for future efficiencies.
Next is related to the fiscal tax rate at the end of the year. What is the expectation we have?
Pepe?
Yeah, well, in this quarter, our taxes have been affected by a reversal of a provision thanks to that we have won a court case, and also impacted by the fact that the countries with higher tax rates have been lower contribution to our profits. No, we are expecting that our tax rate will go towards around 20% along the fiscal year. So it will increase to reach these levels of around 20% at the end of the year.
Next is related to one slide that has been explained already, but is related to the impact of the Iran crisis in our operation, supply chains, and financial evolution.
As I mentioned, we don't expect significant in the short term, because 85% of our assets are in Arab countries not exposed to the conflict. Our growth is focused on regulated networks, which is 2/3 of our investment is coming to this segment. And the US and UK represent 65% of our total investment. 75% of the EBITDA will come from regulated long-term contract activities by in 2028, 2030. 85% of the production as well in 2020 already secured through CFDs, PPAs, et cetera. The supply chains are not affected by Strait of Hormuz dynamics because we are focusing local supplies with no exposure to the area. The fact today, 93% of our strategic equipment for investment is already secure. We have a minimal exposure to commodities. We have not already long-term contract of gas, so I think that is not affecting to ourselves and the negative 10 or whatever. I think it's, for me, as I mentioned, the current context proves, again, the electrification is the best route to energy security, strategic autonomy, and competitiveness. I think energy security is national security. And electricity, as is repeating now all European leaders, is the solution. It's not the threat, it's not the problem.
Next question is related to us, or the street is asking more details on the artificial intelligence initiative of Iberdrola.
Pedro?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I think we're approaching now almost 400 projects of initiatives in AI, and more than 70% are generative AI, and more than 10% of those are, you know, robotics. These projects cover all corporate functions, all businesses, and all geographies. They're linked to efficiency, but also very important to new business opportunities. Very important, this is a process transformation. You know, more than 70% are in-house made. I think we will see positive impacts, as the chairman said, and we will be updating in the upcoming, you know, quarters.
Next question is related to the recent closing of the Mexico deal to Cox, including timing, expected capital gains, and intended use of proceeds.
So as we informed to you, the transaction was closed on Friday. That means we received the money on Friday. The figures were in line with we announced last summer when we signed this agreement. We are calculating the capital gains in detail, but of course it's going to be several hundreds of millions of euros. And as usual, we will use this this money, this capital gain, to achieve efficiencies in the future. And that will not impact our guidance, as I mentioned before. So now, you allow me, I will pass to Spanish, to Espanol, para dar alguna...
So that I can thank the workers of Iberdrola Mexico for their work over the last 25 years. And we have assisted them in the development of the country, and we have supplied them with safe and competitive power for their citizens and their industry. And I would also like to thank the respective governments and the institutions and our customers and suppliers, too, who over the years have supported us and have collaborated with us throughout all of this time to be able to provide this service. And as I said previously, on previous occasions, that is, one of the main reasons behind this operation is our priority. Our priority is focused on investing in electrical grids, which is an activity that is in the hands of the National Electricity Commission. So we can't really do anything in that particular area. But I would like to say, however, that we are deeply satisfied because we are leaving top-level electrical infrastructures, and I know that now and in the future all the Mexican citizens will benefit. And as I also pointed out to the Mexican authorities, we want to invest more. We want to invest more money in Mexico in the future when the circumstances allow us to do so, once we have completed our investment cycle.
Next is, could you update us on the rationale and process of for acquiring the remaining minority interest in Neoenergia and the expected implication for Iberdrola results and financial structure?
Pepe, comentas tú.
Yes, well, since we bought the minority stake from Previ, it made all the sense for us to complete the 100% of the capital. Obviously, the consequences of that is that it will improve our results, basically through lower minorities. It will also help to simplify our financial structure and operations. We are now more and more exposed to the network business at the net profit level, as we did also the acquisition of the 100% of Avangrid in the US and the integration of V&W in the United Kingdom. So clearly, our focus on this proves our focus on networks. In addition to that, Brazil is a core geography for us with very good prospects, with a very regulatory situation, and where we are, investing heavily, and we plan to continue to invest. I don't know, Chairman, if you want to complete this with your...
Yeah, well, I thank you, Pepe. I think I was 2 weeks ago in Barcelona with President Lula. He was visiting Spain, and I have already very good meeting with himself, reaffirming our commitment with the country. We are the largest investor in the country last year, more than 30 billion reais, organic by the purchase of minorities that Pepe mentioned. And he invited to me for the concession renewal signature ceremony on the, I think it's the 6th of next week, on the 6th of May. And I'll be there in Brasilia with himself already signing this one, which I will already participate in. As I mentioned as well to the President Lula, our expectation is to increase heavily our investment in all our territories of distribution, but mainly in the area of the west part of Bahia, where it is a huge demand that has not been covered because of lack of infrastructure. So, but I think in general, our commitment with the country remains, and I think next week I'll be present there in Brasilia with the President Lula for signing this ceremony of signature of the renewal concessions.
Next, could you comment on the current UK offshore wind environment, including Iberdrola's intention for the upcoming AR8 auction and your perspective on the new seabed lease auction process?
So I think UK has a clear electrification strategy. I think it's electrification is, I think the word that I use, energy security, national security, is a word we not invented for myself. It was already invented by the British Prime Minister. I think that provides long-term energy autonomy, that provides competitiveness, and I think it's clear it's one of the key instruments to achieve its goal and to increase the investment in offshore is crucial for them. I think that is the reason why the government has recently brought forward the year 8 to this year. So it was planned for the future, it's done. I think for this project, we have already a project for this auction. We have a project of East Anglia One North, 900 megawatts, which is ready to participate, which we have all the supply chain secure. But I think we will follow, as always, our profitability criteria. regarding the seed-based lease, which has been recently announced, I think for us is still too soon. We will review the detail when they will be available. In any case, I would like to inform you that we have in this moment more than 5,000 megawatts of offshore seabed rights, 2,000 in Scotland and fix, another 3,000 floating. So I think we have plenty of seabed rights for continuing our expansion in this field in the UK in the future.
Next is related to the hedging position and the expectation for prices and volumes sold in Spain and the UK in the period 2026-2028.
Pedro?
I think as you would expect, in 26, we have already committed 100% of our available production. In 27, it's already 80% plus. And in 28, you know, we are, you know, in line with the capital markets guidance. I think in general, these prices, you know, we expect in line with the plan estimates that we gave to you before. As the chairman said, you know, before, you know, we will benefit from additional capacity and from increasing pump storage margins.
Next is the audience is asking about the blackouts in Spain, the past year blackout, including key findings to date, Iberdrola position, related proceedings, customer claims, and any view on the evolution of ancillary service costs in the future.
I think it's, we have always said, as engineer, has been confirmed by all report and investigation, and all the audios has been public, not only on the day of the blackout, but also on the previous day and weeks. So I think that's clear what is this one. This blackout, I insist on that one, was a result of inadequate planning, a management and operation of the electricity system, and the lead to insufficient synchronous unit program despite the power was available. So I think if everything had been done properly by Red Eléctrica, I think we could ask Red Eléctrica why it has changed the operating model, adding more synchronous capacity now. So if all the thing was correct this day, why they changed the operational system? So now we are paying billions of euros of additional costs, citizens and companies, so in our accounts, just because they changed the operational system. Putting more synchronous capacity, much more synchronous capacity, because the power was available. We have already a power installed power in the country, which is 3 or 4 or 5 times more than the power needed on a day-to-day basis. So I think it's not a question of lack of power. So that's why I think it's something which for me is important. We should distinguish between transmission network ownership, which is a business activity, and the system operation, which is not a profit business. It's a public responsibility. And that is why in other countries, both activities are fully separated. System operator is have to take care of keeping the lights on. Network activities are already a business, which is to maximize the profit. When you miss both things, it could conduct already situation which can already make problems as those what we have already faced. In any case, Gerardo, you would like to add anything?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Just to say that the CNMC, in its report about the blackout, has stated that on the day of the blackout, the system had enough regulatory, normative, and technical tools to avoid the blackout, in place to avoid the blackout. So I think that is very important because it's the only official report, because the CNMC, together with the Ministry, is the only institution competent to in relation to the blackout. So regarding the proceedings initiated by the CNMC, therefore the CNMC has also stated that none of these proceedings are related to the events that led to the blackout. Regardless of that, I think that we have a very strong defense, very strong position to defend these cases, because we have always acted according to law and with full transparency to the system operator and the regulator. But as far as we know, the only very serious proceeding directly related with the blackout, according to those reports, the audios, the investigation, etc., is that it's open to Red Eléctrica de España. And regarding the customer claims, finally, we haven't received, the reality is we haven't received, you know, many claims compared to the size of our customer portfolio. And of course, we have insurance policies, so I would say that our position is good, is strong.
As I mentioned, I think following the blackout, Red Eléctrica has doubled the use of combined cycle plants and nuclear for voltage control, what they call reinforced operation. This reinforced operation now is not becoming reinforced, it's becoming regular. As it seems, I think if that is regular, should be recognized as regulated cost, as is already in other countries, not affecting to the certain citizens and affecting to the companies, to the operators of the trading companies.
Next is, how would you describe the current performance and outlook of your retail business in Spain, given the increased competition?
Pedro?
The underlying business in retail is doing very well in Spain. We continue to be the market leader, both in numbers and quality of these customers. We have much lower churn rate, you know, than our competitors, especially for new entrants, you know, with a very strong customer retention. There is a good evolution of our customer portfolio, including, you know, the second brand, Niba. So we are very comfortable now on that position as well. But we continue to add products and services as well.
Question 12 is, what is the Iberdrola's current view on the role of nuclear generation in Spain, and could you update us on the status of Almaraz extension process?
I think, as you have repeated several times, nuclear is necessary, is safe, is efficient, and contribute to lower prices and to the security of the system. In fact, now, the European countries with no nuclear have a structural higher prices. That is the case of Germany and Italy, which is even 40 euros per megawatt hour more than France or Spain. I think it's a certain analyst is already fixing this number. Pricewaterhouse, in some of his report, is talking about 47, but the reality today is 40, which I think they are not far from what this were predicting, this consulting company. Also, the European Commission, led by the President Ursula von der Leyen, is urging member states to avoid premature retirement of existing nuclear assets. Even he mentioned about it was a mistake, European mistake, of closing and not investing in nuclear. They can provide, because she said, provide firm, low carbon, and low cost electricity. I think, in other words, she's talking about European critical infrastructure. So nuclear is more than national, it's becoming European critical infrastructures. I think that was confirmed again in the last week in the Accelerate EU communication. And that's why I think we have already asked the extension of Almaraz to 2030. That is the process is ongoing. I think the Nuclear Security Council, Spanish Security Council analysis, and I think as soon they will be, we provide information. In any case, all the nuclear need to have already sufficient and sustainable remuneration regime, as other countries did. So I think it's secured, we have either to secure price, attractive level, or either to reduce taxation, whatever thing to make already to give viability on that one. I think in the case of taxes, in the case of Spain, certain community, autonomous communities, Valencia and Extremadura, has already just reduced, or they are ready to reduce the local taxation, so which I think that is in the mind of the people. And I think it's in my personal vision is that nuclear facilities in Spain and other countries will be extended in the for longer term. I think it's, in the case of Europe, an essential infrastructure to secure electricity supply. So I think it's, as European Commission is suggesting, it's becoming critical for keeping the lights on and the European competitiveness. Just to as a key tool for minimize the external dependency, to increase the competitiveness, reduce volatility, and not to be already depending on volatilities, which external factors are those one we are suffering those days with the problems of the Hormuz strike.
Next is, could you provide an update on the construction status and operational ramp-up of Vineyard Wind 1 offshore power plant?
Pedro?
In practical terms, the wind farm is completed. You know, we finished the construction of all the positions. The levels of availability we expect to be in line with other offshore wind farm in operation. Very important, these many of the positions have been exporting power for many months. Also, the financing is advanced, both tax equity, tax credits, but also the debt financing. So we are moving forward very well with the asset.
So I think from the, if I'm not wrong, from the 24th of April, it's in commercial operation.
COD was declared.
So I think that is in commercial operation now.
Next, could you outline Iberdrola's growth opportunities in the U.S. power business, given the increase in electricity demand?
Pedro?
As the chairman highlighted, we have passed 11,000 megawatts in the US. What we see is a strong demand increasing in the US. More power is needed, that's clear. Avangrid is and continues to invest. We added almost 1,300 megawatts of capacity. We have 700 megawatts under construction. We have identified 3,000 megawatts of additional potential capacity, more than 1,000 of those very advanced status. And of course, life extensions are repowering in the short term are a clear path. Therefore, clear interest of some of our existing customers for new PPAs. By the way, we're increasing also, you know, for the first time, a new battery storage. You know, we just approved a project in Oregon, so we're starting now in that field.
Next is, could you explain the recent FERC decision to reduce allowed ROE for New England transmission owners and what the expected implication for Iberdrola?
Pedro?
This is a matter that affects, you know, all the transmission operators in New England. As you know, there is another case in MISO, which we expect the court ruling soon, and therefore, since it's a similar procedure, we will see what happens there. It's important that they allowed, you know, no payment to be done for the next 12 months. And so, there is no impact in the
account. But in any case, I think you have to be aware that is something which is coming from 2011. I think something 14 years ago is revising the decision they took 14 years ago to say that probably the how they pay in this 14 year was not already whatever. So I think to talk about retroactive actions of with 14 years, so we are quite confident then the courts will already take into consideration the comments which are making all the people affected, which all across the United States. I think FERC in 40 years has not revised the terms or the decision they took, and 40 years later they are looking, then what they have already paid, consider is not already that what have to be paid. So it's something which is difficult to be understood by engineers like myself. I don't know if lawyers will understand this thing better than we engineers.
Next is, how do you assess the current affordability debate in both in the US and in Europe, and what measures do you believe would be the most effective in reducing electricity bills for customers?
So, as you know, the tariff, the electricity tariff, has three main concepts. One is the electricity cost, which is power and networks. Power, it depends of each country what is their mix of power generation. In networks, it depends how efficient are already this network. I can say that in general, European networks are more efficient than those which are on the other side of the Atlantic. Second parameter is taxes. So I think taxes in the case of Europe is four times higher than those which are in the United States or in China. So, and the last one is the industrial and energy policy cost. I think it's a lot of things included in the tariffs, but we are already, the consumers are paying, or the companies we are paying. We have to see already with this energy policy, energy policies in each country. So, as I mentioned, in terms of taxation, I think this represent in most cases in Europe more than 40% of the bill. 40% of the bill toward 10% in the state. So, I think so that why, I think the fastest way of that one is reducing taxation, to reducing bill. That has been recommended by European authorities. So we have to be on that one. If we would like to electrify, we cannot penalize. We have to incentivize, not penalize. I think the big threat that we are to affordability in the case of that one is to continue relying on fossil fuels. I think in my professional life, I mentioned before, I have already had six or seven different energy crises. In all these energy crises, the solution is not to penalize electricity, is to incentivize electrification. Now that is already on the communication of the European Union as the key driver for that one. So, that is what they are saying, more electrification, more indigenous sources, renewables and nuclear as base of the European energy mix. More distribution and transmission grid, more interconnection between countries, and more access to consumers to electricity. I think they are already a demand which cannot be supplied because of lack of infrastructure of electricity. People is willing to electrify more their uses, But their latent demand, which cannot be supplied because of lack of infrastructures, because in some countries we've been suffering, and still we are suffering, certain caps of investment. So they are limiting the investment we have to make, or reducing even the operational costs, as they did in Spain, which I think if we increase, if the demand is increased and the infrastructure is not duly maintained because there are not enough budget money for recognized, I think that is not easy to be electrified, that one. And certainly lower taxes in the electricity bills, which will not be discrimination with gas. I think in some countries in Europe, so gas taxes is four times less than electricity. So I think we have to be clear. We would like depend on fuel, or we would like to electrify. We would like power, or we would like fossil. And that is, we have to be coherent. I mentioned in the case of UK, it's energy crisis, and they revise the taxation of electricity. So we have to be just the opposite. So even it's not affecting ourselves, this one. So, and I think is I think something which is clear, those countries we have more penetration or renewables and nuclear have already lower structural prices. Italy and Germany has higher prices than France and Spain because there are less renewables, no nuclear, toward Spain or France, where you have more nuclear and more renewables than other one. And I think that is a clear situation.
Next is totally linked with the answer you recently given. What is your perspective on the proposed reform to the European electricity market, and how do you think policymakers should address the current price environment?
So I think, and I repeat again, I think the measure proposed in this crisis show a clear change compared with 2022. Governments in Europe agree that electrification is the solution. So electricity is not a problem, but it's the solution. So so all the measures should be directed against not electricity, against fuel, fossil fuels. I think ETS, in my opinion, is a key tool to promote Europe energy independence. It has already proven it works well. It sends the right signals, and it has flexibility mechanism. So they have to be used the funds already obtained by the carbon emission for electrifying, not for using for making another uses in the national budget. So that's why, for me, the structural solution, and that is what is proposed in the European Commission, is accelerating electrification with more renewables, baked with more grids, and with more storage and more interconnections.
Next is, could you comment on your net debt expectation for 2026, including the main drivers versus year-end 2025?
Pepe?
Yes, we are expecting to end the year with a level of debt of around 55 billion euros, basically driven by the strong investments that we are doing. We are, as the chairman has said, another year in record of investment, and obviously dividend is also increasing the debt despite the FFO generation. But as we have mentioned, the asset rotation that we've done is almost finished. The other element that is affecting us a little bit is the FX impact, especially of the real, which is slightly higher than what we had expected. In any case, the 55 billion is absolutely in line with the CMD and the plan that we have and the capital market day ratios expected, so to be in a BBB+ ratio.
Next, is Iberdrola considering developing gas-fired power plant in the US, and how would this fit within the current growth priorities?
So, as you know, our main business in the United States is networks. It's more than 80% of our business related to networks. Networks is already regulated by states, and I think we have a huge prospect of investment in these states because of the needs of that one. Also, I think we see clearly is an increase in power demand, but this power demand as well is needed networks for taking this electricity in the home, in the industries, what they require for attending this latent demand. But I think, Pedro was mentioned, we have already, we are focused in solar, in onshore wind, and in batteries. We have a huge pipeline, and we have huge opportunities in repowering or extending life of the existing 11,000 megawatt in this morning operation, and we will concentrate on that one. Concentrating networks, first priority, and second, with our present pipeline and with our present portfolio of power in operation to increase our production using the existing assets or making already new asset with the pipeline that we have in hand in this moment.
Next, could you comment on recent market speculation regarding offshore wind agreements involving other developers and whether Iberdrola's approach to offshore contracting in the US is changing?
I think we traditionally, we are not making comments based on rumors or even uncertainties, but about our competitors. So we have not details about that one, and we have details, we will analyze what is exactly they are doing. But I think for the time being, well, the only thing is comments, but we have not already any certainty about all those things.
Next is, can you provide an update on how is the data center industry evolving in Spain and in other markets? How is the pipeline of projects in terms of viability and connection requests progressing?
As I mentioned several times, we have already our main customer worldwide are those which are already precisely working and using already data centers. We are already PPAs, per annum, more than 12,000 gigawatt hours a year. And what we try always is to facilitate the expansion of these data centers to them. As is our customer, we would like to use our capabilities, our knowledge, and our skills for helping to them to make that one. Saying that, I think is the fact, I think in the last few months, we have already signed more than additional 100 gigawatt hours of new PPAs for this data center use. And that is certainly is going to be an important driver of growth demand. So, but I think what we are insist facilitating. We have some project in Spain that we are already working on it, but I think the idea is to facilitate those one for our customers. I think we have already knowledge of the permit, we have land, we have connection, we have power, and that is what we are putting at the service of the customers. But that is not already, we are not making already a special business area on that one. It's something which is helping to that one. Our business is to sell to them as much electricity as they need in the best condition as possible for the longer period of time as possible. And for that, I think we are doing our best for helping them to build the infrastructures they need for making already these data centers.
Next and last question is, what potential upside opportunities do you see versus your current plan 2026-2028 by geography and business area? Upside opportunities.
So I think is we are seeing more opportunities across all the countries, as I already mentioned in my presentation. I think the electrification is, the acceleration of electrification is a reality. We are seeing an additional demand for several uses, a part of artificial intelligence, another one as well. I think in the case of US, we have additional demand of investment in network infrastructures in all the state. So I think regulators is asking for this investment. Also, we are making more investment in power. I think we have already had 1,300 new megawatt in US in the last 12 months. We have 700 under construction. And as Pedro mentioned, we have 11,000 megawatt of capacity in which we have identified 3,000 or 4,000 for life extension or repowering in the short term. So, and also we are increasing, we are seeing increased interest in our large customers for expanding and extending the PPAs. We have a precedent for making new ones. Also, we are seeing opportunities in battery storage. We have announced the first one in Oregon, but we will follow another ones in the near future. In the UK, I think we have already the RIIO-T3. The final determination is better than expected. It's higher TOTEX, it's up to 14 billion euros. I think it's a slightly increase in the rate of return. It's faster, that is important, cash recovery. And I think also, as I mentioned as well, the new offshore wind auction year 8 this year, but we have already just one project which is ready with all the supply chains already agreed and closed. And in continental Europe, additional onshore and offshore project, I think this France announcing the new auctions for offshore, which I think in the terms will looks could be attractive. We will analyze more in detail. And in Brazil, as I mentioned as well, once we sign this concession extension renewables for more than 30 years, I think new additional investment will be needed. I think also we have already positive things. All the investment are recognized on an annual basis, which will add already as much investment we are making a year. The following year will be recognized in our rate base and be paid. In Australia, the things are moving. I think we have already a project in this moment in the design of transmission, and we have another one in the portfolio for making as well something in the future. We are putting additional investment in generation in battery storage. I think we are adding almost 100 megawatt in the last 12 months. And also in battery storage, we are already now a project with large batteries just up to 8 hours, which I think that is already just is going to be the record in a battery in our more than 600 megawatt portfolio. That is going to be the largest one. So I think those are the main thing. I think it's, one thing is important is our pumping storage facilities, what we continue as well expanding. So in this moment, as you know, we have already in the short-term capacities, when I say short-term, 20 hours or 35 hours, is something like 40,000 megawatt hours capacity. And we have already another probably 100,000 megawatt hours of longer periods of time. I think those ones we are pumping to certain, to large dams that we use across the year. I think we avoided the water flows to the sea, and we are keeping these waters in our dams. And we are already almost every year putting two or three new pumping storage facilities in the country. I think in the last few months, we have already just put someone else in the Tajo River, in the and another one in the Tamega River. So we continue in the Tamega River. We are expanding as well. So we continue making that one because we consider pumping facilities is the most efficient manner. But in batteries as well, we are already investing. So we have already, as I mentioned, probably in this moment, 2,000 or 3,000 megawatt hours capacity. But I think we will expect to have to more than double that one in the next 2 or 3 years. And those are given a good opportunity because the spreads are good. And I think as much renewable we're introducing, as more storage will be needed. And same thing, then as much demand is increasing, as much grid is needed. And that is what we are concentrating.
Okay, so now I hand the floor over to Mr. Galán to close this event.
So thank you very much once again for taking part of this conference call. If there are any doubt, our investor relation led by Ignacio will be available for any additional information you may require. Just to finish, you know our annual general meeting will be held in Bilbao on the 29th, and we invite all of you to join us either in presence or just in through
the delegation.
No, or even connected, process, yeah. Connected by the web. So thank you and see you soon. Thank you.